souls for Christ's sake. And so we need to get the idea of being a fool in perspective. In fact, it's possible for all of us at times to do things that are foolish. You remember in Luke 24, when the Lord talked to the ones on the road to Emmaus, he said, "Oh, foolish ones, you're slow of heart to believe all the things that the prophets have told you. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" So it's possible for any one of us at any time to do foolish things. But as we look at the fool in the book of Proverbs, we are looking at someone whose way of life, whose whole attitude, is in fact one of a fool. And by the way, when we go through this series, we will often be referring to the foolish man or the wise man. When I put the series together, I did look for titles that we could use for ladies, just to show that there was no sexism. But I figured you wouldn't like to have messages on the brawling lady, the scolding lady. However, we did sort of select the virtuous woman, so that's coming later in the series. But when we talk about a foolish man or a wise man, we are really making reference to one of either sex. A foolish one would perhaps be the better way to introduce it. Now, what is or who is a fool? You see, the dictionary says one who shows himself by words or actions to be deficient in judgment, sense, or understanding. And it sums it up by referring to a fool as a stupid person. But when we come to the Word of God, the definition is more direct. And by the way, we'll be almost doing a sword drill in Proverbs this morning, so if you'd like to keep your finger in that book, we will be referring to other sections, but primarily from the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs 28:28 says this, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. When Isaiah talks about fools, he says this, "The fool will speak villainy. His heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against the Lord." And so the fool is one who allows his own heart to dictate his way of life. He puts trust in his own feelings. And as we go through Proverbs and we build up the character of a fool, we'll see how important this is. So a fool then is one who trusteth in his own heart. The question comes then, in what direction does a fool's heart lead him? And as we go to the Psalms, we read a couple of very familiar verses. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." That, of course, is in Psalm 14 in the first verse. And the direct translation from the Hebrew is this, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no sign of Jehovah." The fool has said in his heart, "There is no sign of Jehovah." Now that verse is repeated again in Psalm 53 and verse 1. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." But this time it's not Jehovah, it's Elohim, God in creatorial power. So the fool has said in his heart, there is no covenant-seeking God. There's no evidence of him. There's no sign of him. But the fool hath also said that there is no sign of the Creator. No evidence of a Creator. And so as you look at passages like this, you begin to see the direction in which the fool's heart is taking him. Because the psalmist has said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The heavens declare the glory of El, the Almighty. And that is a word that supersedes the covenant-seeking Jehovah and the creatorial Elohim. And the heavens declare the God in his fullness as the Almighty One. And the fool says in his heart, there is no evidence. Let's go to Romans chapter 12 and read a few chapter 1 and read a few verses, because you see how the pattern in Scripture develops. It says the Bible, the fool trusts in his own heart, and the fool's heart leads him to deny any evidence of God. And in Romans 1 and verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that which they knew God, that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. What did Isaiah say in his definition of the fool? Who will speak villainy, whose heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy and utter error against the Lord. And so you can see from a heart that says, you will follow my guidance, the fool comes into a situation where he says there's no evidence of God, either as the covenant-seeking God or as the Creator, and shuts out from his mind the evidence available for the heaven, from the heavens, to the existence of the Supreme Being. I suppose if there is ever an age where this has been more evident than another, it's the age in which we live. Men have said there is no evidence of God, and they've gone shooting in different ways to satisfy the desire and direction of their hearts. If then we could delve into the fool's heart, we've seen what it does to him, but what really does a fool believe? Well, Proverbs 12:15 says this, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Having set aside the truth of God, having blinded his eyes to the evidence of the existence of God, the fool then says, my way is the right way. Whatever I choose to do is right. And isn't that what we have at the fundamental teaching of the New Age movement? I am in control of my own destiny. Whatever I decide to do is right. The Bible says that's the way of a fool. Remember what we read, that there is a way that seemeth right to a man, and the ways thereof are the ways of death. And so we can see the pattern developing, because what the fool says in rejecting the things of God, my way is the right way. Now in Proverbs 13 verse 19, we read something else. It is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. In other words, the fool is unhappy at the thoughts of leaving his evil ways. Not only does he think that he's right in everything that he does, but he develops this sort of feeling that I'm unhappy, I can't live moving outside the little path that I've built for myself. And so we have a man or a woman described by the Bible as a fool, who are trusting in their own heart. And that heart has led them away from God and the things of God into a way of life that says, whatever I decide is right. Unfortunately, that way can only be evil. Because as God looks into the heart of man, he sees nothing good at all. He sees this tremendous propensity for evil. And so man left to his own devices is obviously going to slant towards the evil way. However good he tries to be, there is always that that pulls him back into his evil way. And so having sort of looked at the direction in which the heart of the fool is going to take him, having a look at the sort of things that he believes, what then has the Bible to say about the character that he or she develops? Well, in Proverbs 1 and verse 7, we get the first thing. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Boy, I must have some of these in my class, I think. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. In other words, they won't listen to wise thinking or straight direction. Proverbs 12 and verse 6. A fool's wrath is presently known, immediately known. And if you look at the background of this, you find that basically a fool has no self-control. A fool will despise wisdom and instruction, but in his own mannerisms has no self-control. Proverbs 12 verse 23 says this, the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. 18 verse 6 says, a fool's lips enter into contention. Proverbs 18:7 says, a fool's mouth is his destruction. And so combining these three passages together, we gather that a fool will speak foolishness. A fool is always arguing, and a fool brings about his own downfall. So he doesn't like instruction. He has no self-control. Every time he opens his mouth, it is with a negative connotation. And by the way, that quote that I made at the beginning of my address has its counterpart in Scripture in Proverbs 17, verse 26. And it says this, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. But the fool is not able to hold his peace. He will argue. For example, if you take the opposite view, he will not listen to the wisdom of the Word of God, but he will constantly argue against it. You met people like that? Instead of realizing that the Bible is the Word of God and speaks the truth, because they are fools, they will argue against it. And you may remember what Job said in Job chapter 9 when he realizes what a formidable task it is to argue and to discuss things with God. The fool doesn't realize that. The fool doesn't realize that in any discussion, any challenge to the Word of God, he has no hope of winning. Because the Lord Jesus said, "Thy Word is truth. Thy Word is reality. Thy Word is absolute." And yet the fool will constantly challenge the Word of God. Here's one for today. Proverbs 15 verse 5. A fool despiseth his mother's instruction. And then a bit further down, Proverbs 15 verse 20. A foolish man despiseth his mother. Let's stop here for a minute. One of the valuable assets in my life was a wise father. And the older I get, the more I realize how wise he was. As a teenager, I decided that, yes, I have a wise father, so I'm going to buck the trend a little bit, and in fact, I'm going to listen to him. And as I look back on my life, I realize the things from which I was saved in life because I took the words of instructions. But you know, with many young people today, parents are just a pair of idiots that God has burdened them with. And when your parents grow up, that's lovely. They'll be able to understand me and we'll get on fine. Christian young people, your parents are one of the best and strongest assets that God has given you. And if you can get your father on the quiet, as I did on several times, and try and find out why he's so wise, I find out it's because he made the very mistakes that he's trying to warn me against as I grew up. And, you know, here, if you're going to despise her, notice it's a strong word. It doesn't mean, well, you know, well, humor them a little bit. It's despising. Despising the instruction of a father, despising a mother. And the Bible says anybody that does that is displaying the characteristics of a fool. And yet these are evidences of the day in which we live. Proverbs 17 verse 24 says, "The eyes of the fool are in the ends of the earth." The suggestion here in the Hebrew is that the fool has no concentration or no purpose in his life. His eyes are flitting all over the place. He has no singleness of purpose, no goal, no direction in life. Chapter 18 verse 2 says, "A fool hath no delight in understanding." That's a little bit of a repeat of what we read in chapter 1 verse 7. But a fool is basically unwilling to learn, and that's why he's going to despise the instruction of a father or a mother, because he really is unwilling to learn. And then finally, in 10 verse 23, "It is as sport to a fool to do mischief." In other words, a fool gets delight in upsetting other people in one way or another. What a character! What a character! Despising instruction. No self-control. A mouth that when it opens speaks foolishness or argues or brings about the fool's own downfall. Despising the instruction of a father and of a mother. Unable to concentrate. No goal in life. No purpose in life. Now, if you talk to people who we would characterize as fools, they will tell you, "I have a goal." In fact, one of the things that is pushed now is to have a goal in life. When I think back to my choice of a career in the early days of my life, my goal was simply to get out of school. I'd been there long enough, and I wanted to get out of school. And then my goal after that was to earn enough money to have a comfortable little home and a family. And then I found that when my goal was to get to the top of the tree, that it wasn't too comfortable at the top of the tree. People have a habit of pulling knives out and sticking you in the back when you're not looking. And so my goal in life, really, I think, underneath it all, has been to serve the Lord in whatever way He wants me to use me. And if He chooses to give me a good job, which brings remuneration, then it pays the rent, gives me a holiday, but I get on with His work. And as a believer, that should be our goal. You see, the fool, his goals are at this level. How high in the corporation can I get? How much wealth can I accumulate? The Christian's goal goes through the clouds and says, how can I serve the one who saved me? That may take you places. It's taken me to three continents, and Wendy to three continents. But if the Lord has been in any way satisfied in what we've done, then that's the reward. But a fool has no goal, no direction. And as I said earlier, we don't have to be complete fools. But there are times in our lives when some of these things can be true of us, and we're acting in a foolish way. Well, how do I treat a fool? Because the scriptures have some ideas about this too. We have this person whose heart has said, look, you listen to me and I'll take you in the right direction. But as we see from the Word of God, that direction is a downward way. It's a way from God. And it develops a characteristics in a fool that are in no way reminiscent of the character of God. Well, Proverbs 13:20 says this, a companion of fools shall be broken. Now, a literal translation of the Hebrew is this, is he that feedeth or entertaineth fools shall be bankrupt. In other words, you do not choose fools for your companion, because it'll bring you into trouble and disaster. Oh, words of the New Testament, be come out from among them and be ye separate. Companionship with the world is a disaster in whatever form it takes. And so the Bible says a companion of fools shall be broken. 23 verse 9, speak not into the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. He's not going to listen to you. Now that doesn't mean we don't try. And there are times when we witness, when we speak to other people, that there is a response, because the Spirit of God has been there before us and prepared the way. But a man whose life is given completely over to foolishness, we have already read, he will despise wisdom and instruction. So he will despise your words. Here's a difficult one for you in Proverbs 26. Verse 4 and 5, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. This is saying, look, you can't reason with a fool. If you answer him not in accordance with his folly, in other words, if you don't respond to the foolishness of what he's saying, he'll think that he's as wise as you. But if you answer him according to his folly, he'll think you're as stupid as he is. So really, you can't win. And one of the things I find when talking to people is that you present the Word of God as ultimate truth, as absolute truth. but you avoid argument on it. Because remember, the fool is not arguing from the truth. He's arguing from his folly. What's the fool's end? Well, Proverbs 3 says, shame shall be the promotion of fools. Before God, a fool is piling up disgrace upon disgrace upon disgrace in his life. Proverbs 11:28 says, the fool shall be servant to the wise. In other words, the wise will always come out on top. In Luke 11, the Lord said to the Pharisees, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of wicked greed. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? And so the fool does not appreciate God's place in their lives. And you'll remember, of course, Luke 12, the man who foolish ambition was to fill his barns and have this and have that and have the other thing. And God visits him in the night with these words, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee, then whose shall these things be? Proverbs also says, the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. So we have this character of a fool, a person ruled by their own heart. Finding that the direction of their life is a downward one away from God. Displaying characteristics that only emphasize their foolishness. We're to be careful of the way in which we deal with them and their end is going to be one of destruction. Now, is there any hope? This is the thing. You see, it's one way to characterize a fool and to very bluntly tell him that your end is destruction. But that's not the gospel, because we read that God is not willing that any should perish, and this obviously must include those who are characterized as fools. The interesting thing is, in 1 Corinthians, that the very thing that these people challenge and attach the word foolishness to is what God takes to save them. You see, to the fool, the cross is foolishness. The fact that one person should die to bring salvation to everyone is to the fool an example of foolishness. The fact that men and women should go around preaching that this is God's way of salvation is also foolishness. And yet Paul says that it's through these foolish things that God confounds the wisdom of this world and tells men that it's only through Christ. Whatever we may think of it, however foolish we may think the cross to be, however foolish we may think that the proclamation of that message is, it's the only way that God provides salvation. And the fool must recognize that he's not looking at the foolishness of God, but he's looking at the wisdom of God. And God in his wisdom has taken those things that man looks at as foolishness and used them in his own power to bring salvation. Oh, there's a word in a verse in Isaiah 35 that really has connotations in the future, but I'm going to unashamedly lift it from its context because I think it applies to what we're thinking about today. It's talking in that coming day when everything is peace and tranquility. It's talking about a highway to God. And Isaiah 35:8 says this, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. And if we lift that from its context, in effect, what we are going to say to you as we close is this. The way of salvation is so simple that although you may be in the depth of foolishness from a human point of view, you can't miss it. You can't miss it. The wayfaring man, the traveler through this life, says God, even although he's a fool, he can't make a mistake as far as this highway is concerned. You know, there is a way that seemeth right to a man, and the ends thereof are the ways of death. The Bible expands that, talking about a broad road that leads to destruction and a narrow way that leads to life. You know, there's one thing about a narrow way. You can't get lost on it. It's very simple. There's one path to follow. But you think of a broad way. Wander all over the road. Ever driven a car on what the planes land on? I forget what it's called now. But you know, if you drive a car on there, you can go where you like. You drive one through a small farm track, you have to follow the track. And so if you want to be saved, the way is a simple one. Nothing complicated. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Set aside the dictates of your own heart. It will lead you away from God. Come to know Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.